the apostolic blessing. So not many know this, including the priest who may come out. So sometimes you actually have to ask for it specifically. And I will read this to you. It's also here posted in the notes with the link, the register, and so that you have it. So you'll know what it sounds like. And if you don't hear these words, then you're not having it. And then we'll kind of go into, again, it's that same reason of bringing total forgiveness at death. Okay. The pardon at the hour of death. This is an extraordinary gift, a plenary indulgence given by the Holy Catholic Church for a person who is dying. It is given by a Catholic priest after the anointing of the sick with the closing of these words. So here it is. Through the holy mysteries of our redemption, may Almighty God release you from all punishments in this life and in the life to come. May he open to you the gates of paradise and welcome you to everlasting joy. Or, here's another version. By the authority which the Apostolic See has given me, I grant you a full pardon and the remission of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Yes, full remission of all temporal punishment due to your dying loved one's sin is given. The only time it wouldn't apply is if the dying person actually rejected it. So if they were conscious, but if they're in a coma or unconscious, it would apply. And so, yes, there's an article below to go into this blessing, this pardon, more fully. Many priests are not aware of this prayer, and you should ask for it. If you didn't hear these words said, then the apostolic prayer was not given. And we should all make an effort to do this for everyone. Keep the prayer in your cell phone, in your wallet, or in a place at home where all the family knows of its location. Yes. So if you have important papers, this might, I've never said this before, but this might be one of those times to actually have this in your file. I know one friend, and unfortunately her family was not formed or were willing to be formed by the Catholic understanding of preparing for death. And so she asked Terilyn to do it because she knew Terilyn would be on top of things. Right. And she was. But of course, Terilyn's having to work with the family on things. And so your family really needs to know this in the first place, if possible. Okay. I've many times texted a copy of this prayer to friends who had loved ones who were dying. And we would want someone to do this for us as well, right? How can this full pardon be possible? Let us remember what Jesus said to the good thief. He said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise.
And see, that again, I think, is another one of those times where we have to remember that our Lord lived in one specific moment in time. But like before, you had said that there is a law that has to be written, that is a universal law that covers all space and time. Our Lord has the same words for us. So anytime that he, you know, there are certain places maybe in scripture that may not have perfect application to everyone. For instance, like when he says to the rich young man, right? Because not everyone is called to sell everything and give everything away, right? I mean, so that was a particular discourse that was moved beyond the universal, right? Where he said, what must I do to have eternal life? And our Lord explains to him, everybody must follow the Ten Commandments, right? So there's the universal. But then the individual person approaches him in the individual and says, but I do all those things. What more must I do, right? So there we have a double level of conversation. But in this one, where the good thief is dying, right, and he says to him, remember me, That's any time that we enter into that relationship with Christ as the good thief, right? Lord, remember me. We will hear those words back from him. You know, you will be with me today in paradise. That is a promise that is available to us as Catholics. The church gives us a very beautiful way to enter into that particular love of Christ for each one of his children, right? Or each one of his followers. He will make himself universally present if we seek it.
That's right. That's right. So along the topics considered will be the acts of charity he wants us to fulfill. So uniting our suffering to Christ crucified, and here's again where the image of the Sacred Heart is most helpful. Being sick and ill is not an excuse for us to be nasty and mean. We can't be nasty and mean to our, and we've all seen this, right? We've all done it, mea culpa. But we don't get a pass. Regardless of our situation, we just don't get a pass on acts of charity. So then there are funeral plans. There are, and here's another one, many people might realize it. There are three rites of a Catholic funeral. When your loved one has passed this life, we are called by tradition and charity to have a rosary vigil service, rite number one, a funeral mass, rite number two, and a graveside committal service, rite number three. It's not just the rosary, it's not just the mass, it's all three. And so again, we have links there that you can help you plan well for before or after your loved one has passed. And maybe this is for some out there, this is the last nudge you needed. Take this opportunity to plan your own, right? Don't burn in those coming after if it's possible. And I have a questions concerning this document. There's a phone number, and they'll get back to you. And then she lists a closing prayer. Okay, so final considerations. We're almost at the top. Was there commentary on just that, the three rites?
I think the one thing that really, we as Catholics, we have to get over, not necessarily get over, but enter into a new relationship with this, right? And one of the things that I like to tell my children, you know, who may have fear of death or anything like that, is that as a Catholic, the face of death is Saint Joseph, right? Nothing there at the end of your life, God willing, it will be the radiant smile of Saint Joseph that greets you, right? And who is going to be there to assist you in that final struggle, right? He will be there with you. And the more that you develop a love for Saint Joseph, the more that you enter into a relationship with him now, the more times that you invite him into your life to seek his intercession, seek his advice, seek his friendship, the more familiar will be that face when it presents himself to you. And we unfortunately have because for a number of years now, the church does not address appropriately the four last things. Catholics have become afraid of dying, which is never what we are called to be. We are called to recognize that is not an end, but a journey, right? We are not ending our life. We are moving from one stage of life into another stage of life. And the more that we are capable of helping to prepare ourselves for that moment, and that would be, you know, reading these rites, find out how beautiful they are, right? They're truly beautiful rites. And read your favorite readings. What are those things that have been important to you that could be brought into those final liturgies, right? The more that you embrace that element of a time in your life, which is an inevitable time, the more that, I mean, the less fear that you will have, right? Because it will just become another natural moment of your relationship with God, right? At some point, he will call you forth. You know, don't you want to run into his embrace at that moment? Like, what moment could be, I mean, sure, if you're a sinner, there could be no worse moment, right? I mean, that's true. There could be no worse moment. But if you have lived your life entirely for Christ, there cannot be a happier one.
That's right. That's right. All right, my friends, we will continue on with other final practical considerations. Till then, my friends, fides erratio.